All right, welcome everybody. It's Wednesday night here in America, early Thursday morning in Ireland, Scotland, and the UK. This is Stephen Roberts, and my show is Cancel the Cabal. I was gonna waffle on for a little bit, talk about some things, but I talked two friends into coming on. I have Kyler Davenport and Jill Trebilcock. Welcome, Kyler and Jill.
Yeah, buddy. Glad to be here. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Kyla. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having us, Stephen. It's always fun.
Yeah, I guess it seems to be a day for having other show hosts on and talking about things. I was on John Bravo's show earlier and had a good time with that.
Bravo.
Bravo is right, Jill. Yeah, you happened to mention that in that little Skype chat, didn't you there?
Well, it is a Bravo. It's a hilarious name, John Bravo.
Yes.
So you've been up to some exciting stuff lately, Stephen?
Have I? Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
What a lead off, Jill. Put him in his place. That's like Jill saying to me, well, I heard you went out and partied hardy last night, Kyler. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't either. I didn't do anything last night.
Oh, hi, Vibe. Vibe says, yay, Kyler.
But it has been exciting stuff. I mean, talk about the Facebook page that's just come up.
Okay. Yes,
hey,
everyone.
Stephen, we just had something big happen here, man. But I'll tell you later. Maybe during the show, we got some really hot stuff going with Alternative Public Radio International that Stephen and I have been working on for the last few weeks, I guess.
Yeah, at least 5 or 6 weeks now. Kyler and Mary started Alternative Public Radio Network, and I've just invited about 870 some odd people to it, and like 30 of them joined within seconds.
We were just added to deprogrammed radio. They're working with us here with a beta test. I'll tell you about it later. It's still a little too complex for me to understand right now, but wow, people are starting to want to connect to us, Stephen. They can't believe we did this. I mean, literally, people are emailing me right now saying, I can't believe you all did this. You are so wonderful.
Well, you know, I didn't...
That's fantastic.
I thought it was a decent idea when you first came up with it many, many weeks. Like, I don't know, it's been probably like 2.5-3 months ago now.
And that I started really working on the infrastructure, and
really
you and I started collaborating.
We tried pounding it into people's heads. There's only two ways that we're going to get out of this. As I mentioned on John Bravo's show, the Republicans and the Democrats over here in America, they are not going to save us. We have to save ourselves. We have we have to join together. I've got a sneaky suspicion there are many, many churches here in America that are just folding under. Their parishionerships are down, or their people coming in are down in the churches here in America. And I believe, I have this feeling that I think people are realizing that other people are going to have to come together. And they are starting to disavow their pastors, their priests, their bishops, and stuff like that.
Their lords and kings and masters.
They've preached forever and ever to stay away from this other group over here. You better stay away from the Watusis because we're Tutus and we're better than them, and they're going to kill us, so we have to stay away from them.
And stay away from the Kyler Davenports and the Stephen Roberts of the world, because they'll send you down the alternative path to hell.
They think outside the box, so we better not listen to them crazy people.
Right. We're of the devil. That's what they preach.
Sure they do.
But they're starting to change. You're right, Stephen. People are jumping ship. People are starting to see that there's not just one path to democracy, that there's not just one path to holiness, that there's not just one path to community. They're starting to realize that they need to expand their imaginations a little bit and then broaden their scope a little bit and start to reach out for folks who have wisdom and skill and experience and understanding in broad, not only broadcasting, but the world at large, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know my particular church here, the people are down because they don't want the gays and lesbians talking to us, so they have been preaching for many, many years to stay away from that lifestyle. And, of course, many people erroneously equate staying away from that lifestyle from staying away from them people.
Well, you know, Stephen, just because I have two or three gays sitting in church with me doesn't mean that I'm going to go home with them. I mean, and
that's
have,
right.
You know,
that's right. That's
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just
right.
Ridiculous. It's like if I had a church, I would invite every straggler on the street, every prostitute, every alcoholic, every gay person. It would black, white, green, orange, purple. It wouldn't matter. We're Buddhist. Wouldn't matter where they were from. And that's what's wrong with the churches today, is you've got to dress a certain way, look a certain way, think a certain way, walk a certain way. You know, you've got to be a certain way.
It is.
In order to get in the front door. And that's what's precluding the church from really growing into the community and really becoming a part of the overall diverse community that we have today.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yes. my own particular pastor... I don't know what the entire story is, but he has lost no less than, I don't know, 10 or 11 of his own family members for some unknown reason. I haven't been able to find out yet. They've been gone for
I've been through that so many times with, you know, churches that Heather and I work with the homeless, with the vets, with the prostitutes and the drug addicts that Heather and I counsel with and work with here and there and in the South. We've seen so many churches break up over family. I mean, it hadn't been the parishioners. It was family that broke them up. And that's sad, Stephen. It's really sad.
Yes, it is. And I've got this sneaky suspicion that one of his family members may have been gay, and it just broke up his entire family, you know. I don't know.
Well, I had a pastor that I grew up with. He's Hispanic, and he was such a holy roller in the beginning and so perfect, and he had a beautiful wife, just beautiful, a knockout wife, and they had such a storybook marriage on the outside. And when he first came back to me, I went to school, went to junior high with him, went to high school with him, and when he first invited me to his church, I went and said, "Oh, my God, look at this. You know, look what this guy's accomplished. I mean, he's got this picture perfect family. He's got this picture perfect church and these picture perfect people. And look at this. He's asked me to come in and help and volunteer." And I did. And as time went by, I started learning all these little secrets that he'd kept in the closet. Like his son was a homosexual. His daughter was a lesbian. His other daughter was a gang member and had a felony for graffiti. And his brother-in-law went to drugs, went to jail on a murder charge. And him himself went to jail on a murder charge and was, you know, and I'm like, God, Lord.
Well, you know the old joke, though, right, Kyler?
Huh?
I say, you know the old joke, right? The two most promiscuous girls in school are the preacher's daughter and the farmer's daughter.
Oh, yes, and double yes. I've dated both of them. Yes, yes, yes. Of course.
Stereotyping.
Well, a truth.
No, not really.
A truth not really. Is not a fallacy, yeah. Though, Jill.
Yeah, right.
The truth is not a fallacy.
Heather has just informed me that she's so excited. She is building our international YouTube channel as we speak. She's building the Alternative Public Radio international YouTube channel, and she wants to connect it, Stephen, as we talked about weeks ago, to you, to me, and then all of us together and everyone else in the network on the same YouTube channel, and that's going to really pump everything up.
Yeah. Huh.
I didn't mean to get off the subject.
No. Yeah. Aren't you also dabbling in the video thing, too?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm going back to television, too. So we're going to be running on international television, digital, the real television now. I'm going back in March.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm a producer for public television here. So we're going to be going back and be able to do the news desk and run it into the shows and do clips and news clips, man on the street interviews or woman on the street interviews.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be pretty neat, too, to do podcasting. So, well, you're already doing podcasting.
Yes, I am.
I'm not yet.
Yeah, I've... Well, I'm not going to say it on this show here, but I'll tell you in private. Something else is going to go on. It might end up being the better for me, but who knows? It might not. I'll just let you know a little bit later.
Yeah.
But
yes. Cool.
Anyway,
cool.
So
tease.
Yeah, I know it. It's. I'll just tell you on a break maybe or something, but
okay,
not on air.
We've got some people wanting to sell us advertising here. If you guys are listening, EC Abbott, we've got somebody wanting to trade advertising on Public Radio International, theirs and ours, so that might be interesting. $25 gets you 30-second spot, played two times a week for a month. That is at the 50% off rate. Ooh, I feel special.
Yeah. You got a solicitation already, huh?
Yeah, it might be good. We'll see. We'll see what their numbers look like. We might advertise 30-second spot over there. We might all. He wants us to advertise alternative public radio. And if they have big numbers, we might do that. You know,
sure,
cool.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, Jill, tell us all about your wild night last night. I heard you had an exciting night last night.
I did have an exciting night last night. I went and saw a film by John Pilger called Utopia. And Utopia, come on, guys, tell me what Utopia looks like.
What Utopia looks like? Yeah. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
I know, but when I say the name Utopia, what do you think of?
I think of laying out on the beach with a whiskey sour, looking at the waves roll in. You know, sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
Exactly.
On the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Utopia in Australia is a really down and out town. It's absolutely terrible out in the middle of the desert that they gave to the Aboriginals, and they called it Utopia, and it really should be called Hell Realmsville. And it's actually about the treatment of the Australian Aboriginal and how colonists have just abused the Australian First Nation people again and again and again and again and again, and they're still doing it to this very day. And when I was watching it, I couldn't help but thinking, they've always been treated as, they've been dehumanized is one way of putting it, even though they weren't considered human legally in Australia until the 60s, like 1969 or something. They decided that they'd change the law and say that Australian people are human.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
I could believe anything nowadays, Jill. Nothing shocks me anymore at my age. Stage. Yeah.
And then I'm watching it and I'm thinking, and this is us too. This is what is happening to the rest of society, now.
You know, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad that I said that. I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's terrible that we get to a point where we say, oh, nothing shocks me anymore at my age and stage. I mean, when we get to that point, we've been so desensitized and so overwhelmed with trauma that we're just numb, kind of, you know? And I mean,
yeah.
We weren't that way in the 60s and 70s. I remember we weren't that way in the 60s and 70s. Things were new. Things were challenging. We still had to look over that next hill, that next mountain, that next ocean. And now it's just like if I got up in the morning and Stephen or you called and said, well, Fukushima's blew up again and the rads are headed your way, I'd say, well, can you call me back in an hour? I'm going to get some more sleep. You know, it's like, whatever. You know? Isn't that terrible when we get to a point where we feel so trapped and so overwhelmed and so powerless to the big things that are happening that it just doesn't excite us anymore? Can't you remember, Jill, when you were, you know, younger, that things weren't like they are now? You know,
I was fine.
Information differently.
I was fine until I met you and Steven.
That reminds me. What's it going to take? That reminds me. What's it going to take to? What's it going to take to get people to realize what's actually going on our West Coast with all of this, radiation?
Fukushima.
Yeah, what's it going to take?
Well, I've been talking to lots of people up here over the last few weeks and months, and people are just not concerned. They're just not concerned.
Well,
they have just completely dumbed down to the point where they just don't care.
I know.
They really don't care.
As we all know, Kyler, Jill, Honey Boo Boo is more important than that, so I don't know.
What's Honey Boo Boo?
People
well,
in America
like Dancing with the Stars, or, you know, he's just using that as kind of a metaphor, you know, for people that have been dumbed down to entertainment and television
so much
that they don't really give a damn what's going on in the real world anymore, you know.
Search it up,
I see,
Jill.
You have befriended Harvard University, Kyler. I was just looking at their page now. I really think we're going to have to get to the Ivy League schools. This was my aha moment yesterday on air. I had it. I don't know who I was with, probably Kyler or somebody. I was with you, Kyler. And I thought, actually, we have to target the upper-class youth. We have to let them know what's going on.
Well, I'm actually doing about 17 live shows here in the Northwest, bringing in three different colleges to my shows, and I'm going to be live at the college at Oregon University in March, April, May.
We need to tell them about March, April, May. You'll be live at the colleges. Wow. Well, we need to tell them about Fukushima, and I think we need to do more interviews with Helen Caldicott, too.
Hey, Jill.
Yep.
You know, to reach the upper-class youth, we're going to have to talk about the same things that we would have to reach the lower class youth, because believe me, they're all into the same things.
I am an upper class youth. I was an upper class youth. I went to the most expensive school in Melbourne, and
you're Australian too, though.
Yeah, in Australia. But the point is that I know them, right? If we just need to be educated, that's all. In fact, we were very lucky. I remember Melbourne Grammar, where I went to school, Melbourne Church of England Girls Grammar School. They brought in, I'm a member of their Facebook page. I can put it on the Melbourne Church of England Girls Grammar School's Facebook page and say, are you teaching about Fukushima? And I can put it on my interview that you and I did, Stephen, with Helen Caldicott. I can actually do that. And I just want to ask all other people to please start realizing that, you know, like, and it's as we said in our interview with Twemlow today, we cannot approach it from any one direction. Grassroots is important, but top down is also important. Side on, any which way you can get that sperm in that egg, get in there and fertilize the thought. That's my theory.
Yeah.
You know, an egg is round. The sperm, there's not one point of entry for a sperm, is there?
Breaking news, y'all.
Come on, Jill. You can't change the subject.
No, it's exciting. It's kind of funny. EC's willing to do promo barter with us. He's so excited about our new network. He's willing to run us free if we'll run them free. And I told him, yeah, let Steven and I look at your numbers and see what's going on and give us a little more intel, and then we'll be glad to do that.
Who's that, Kyler?
It's another alternative public radio network.
Kyler, you're obviously doing well, getting 100% in your mirroring, validating, and reflecting empathy classes.
Do what now?
Would you... I'm teasing you for not repeating what I said back to me.
Now you're saying that you're teasing me for not repeating back what I'm saying to you?
I am, Kyler. I am.
Now you're saying I am, Kyler. I am. Is that
Kyler, the egg needs to be fertilized from any direction.
Yes, the egg, you're saying the egg needs to be and can be fertilized. I'm sorry, can be fertilized from any direction. Is that, do you feel heard now, Jillian?
Yes, I do, Carla. I'd like to be heard about
football. Stephen, do you feel heard, Stephen?
Stephen and Carla, Fukushima, mm-hmm. I think we have to get it in. We need to approach it from every direction we can and encourage our listeners or whatever you call people who listen.
Listeners. Jill, we only have 7 or 8 listeners. Are y'all out there?
Stephen,
Uncle Bill, can you hear me?
You're horrible.
How about
how
a little break?
How many listeners have we got? We've got lots of listeners.
How about a break,
Stephen,
guys?
Did you call your cousin to tell him to listen
with
Uncle Bill?
How about a break?
What? Yeah, let's do it. We're getting a little nutty here.
Are we going to get some music?
I need a bathroom break, yes.
I'm going to get a... We didn't need to hear that. I'm going to get a mouthful of ham here.
All right, guys. I'll be back here in a few minutes. All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing on. Took a little break there. I don't know what happened to my music level. I normally set it at about -2 dBs, and somebody said, "Where's the music? Turn the music up." And John McHugh, thanks for that. And I looked over, and it was all the way almost down to 0. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what changed. I don't know whether I hit some button and changed it on my top keyboard or what. But it was down to nothing. Hi, Char. Anyways, we are going to continue on. I want to do my best. I know I tried the other night to talk about some sovereignty. I know that's a bad word over here in America, or it will be soon. But the only other way to characterize it mainly is... I don't know, natural living, natural law, common living, common law, God's law of the land, nature's law. I guess there's many, many names for it. Creator's law for those politically correct people. I think I have heard, allegedly, there are like 16 million laws here in America out of all 50 states. 16 million different laws. That's a lot of laws, man-made. And natural law, God's laws, there only seems to be 10.
No, there's 14, or if you look at it really carefully.
14?
Yeah, there's 14 commandments, but they just left out a few of them.
Yes, but you know, if you really want to get technical about it,
Jill...
And then
there's 613 altogether.
Jill, if you really want to get technical about it, there are only about four laws. Because look at the... most of them are tied together, and they actually mean stealing. There's the thou shall not steal. And you can also tie that one with... thou shalt not kill. If you kill, you are actually stealing somebody's life. Taking a life. If you take another man's wife, you're coveting your neighbor's wife.
Unless he's trying to get rid of her.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. But many of them can be tied in together, you know. What are some of the
other commandments? No lying, no killing, no stealing, right? They're the first sort of basics. No lying, killing, stealing.
Well, if you're lying, you're taking away the truth from somebody.
Yeah.
That's stealing.
Yeah.
But, I think that there are only two things that are going to save humanity from the apocalypse that's coming, and I don't mean the Hollywood zombie apocalypse either. I mean the actual apocalypse that they have planned. They have planned. If you know, Jill, there's a University of Texas down there in Austin. They have a science department, a biology department down there, where they have perfected a some sort of mouse virus or rat virus that kills 99.7% of what it comes in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
No, that means three out of mm-hmm. 1,000 people will survive this mouse virus or rat virus.
Mm-hmm.
Those odds aren't very good at all.
They're not very good odds, Stephen.
No. You know, there has to be a very, very good reason why our government and all of the elites are building these underground bunkers. They're not doing them for the conspiracy theorists out there to go ape over, you know. They're doing it for a good reason. They've experimented on humans enough with enough of these viruses, enough of these man-made viruses. And I do know that, scientifically speaking, 85% of cancers are viruses. The Rockefeller and the Ford Foundation found that out back in the 1880s. And yeah. they've been working on cancers and perfecting them for over 100 years now. You know, science is just science. People can call you silly names and laugh at you, but it doesn't make their argument true and valid. You know, I'm Alex Jones calls himself the king of conspiracy, but then he also turns around in the same breath and says he's actually the king of reality. And you know, that's the way I think about it too. You know, what is conspiracy anyways, Jill? It's just two or more people that gather and talk about or conspire about doing something. All of these conspiracies in the last 100 years are just that. They are just conspiracies. And as far as I'm concerned, a conspiracy is just a label anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something to add about something a few minutes ago? Or?
Well, I'm just looking up how the 14 commandments reduced to 4 commandments. But I don't have it to add yet. But I'm actually really bringing it down to the basic commandment, which is to know God or to love God. And
yes.
Then, as a philosopher, I'm really interested in that because, and as a Tibetan Buddhist philosopher, I'm really interested in that. And so I was just sitting here in the background Googling, and I Googled 14 commandments in the Bible, and I also came up with 14 commandments of Buddha, so I was just going to look them up. So I'm not really ready to comment yet.
Yeah. Well, Tom had a very, very interesting comment there just a few seconds ago. He says, natural law and knowledge, you can't cause harm with, willful ignorance is irresponsible, and it is. I can understand people being willfully, not so much willfully ignorant. I do not understand willful ignorance.
Willful ignorance. What do you mean by willful ignorance?
Well, people are choosing to be ignorant. You break the word ignorance down. I've been listening to a lot of Mark Passio, as the two of you know. He doesn't say ignorance anymore. He says he phrases it a little bit differently. He uses the word ignorance. Or ignorant,
yep.
Because
yep.
That's what you are basically doing. Willful ignorance is people are choosing. We have probably 99.9% of the world's knowledge is at your fingertips right now, Jill. You know that. You can type in anything that you want to research, and you can find thousands. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of links. Anybody that wants to, and the key word there is wants to, learn about anything, they can. So woeful.
Well, you know, this is when we've got our psychiatrist. You know, this is when it makes you think, well, actually, you know, some things are so unconscious, like because we have so many aspects of our psyche, it's really hard to work out what willful ignorance is. It's almost the same as the concept of free will, because we've got so many blockages and so many ways in which we have to protect ourselves.
Well, we do have free will.
We have to protect ourselves. It's a misconception, but it has a psychological function, and that's when it starts to get really tricky.
It is about free will. And people,
okay, go on.
People are choosing to be ignorant.
What if they don't have the choice to be ignorant? What if they are brainwashed, you know, like they're just terrified?
That's still a choice. That's still a choice, Jill. Brainwashing is
I think what Jill's saying, Stephen, I think what Jill's saying is, what if they're already too far gone due to their addictions and their passiveness and their, you know, their laziness to not get involved in these important issues that we talk about, you know? What if they're already too far gone?
And now we go in there
and we're trying to teach them something or make them awake to something, and their brain is just so turned off that they're not able to hear us.
That's right, in a way.
No,
it's how do we... I
they
don't
are
ever
hearing
think anyone's
us.
Too far gone, but I
oh,
think
yeah, 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 yeah.
People
oh,
can
yeah.
be momentarily shut down.
Yes,
well,
they are...
I'm on the mental health board up here, and I can tell you that there's oodles of people that are already too far gone. Yes, whether it be organic or not. Whether it be organic or not.
They are hearing
whether
us.
Whether it be self-induced or environmentally induced, they're too far gone. Yes.
They are hearing us. They are hearing us. They're just... They're the ones that are fighting us the most.
Mm-hmm.
They are hearing mm-hmm. us. I get it in my family every day of the week.
And that's where we get the word zombie, and that's where we get the word clueless, and that's where we get the word passive, massive, and that's where we get the word sheeple people. Yes,
that's where we get the words cognitive dissonance, and that's where we get the word willful ignorance, and that's where we get the words, some of the other psychological terms.
And those who do not want to deal in reality, yes, that's why we talk about that so much on alternative radio. That's our mission, is to talk about these things and dissect them as a doctor would do a heart transplant. That's our job here, is to be the PhDs, the philosophers, the ones with the experience and the knowledge. We are awake. We are here. We are alternative public radio. So, yeah, that's our mission. That's our honor to be here with these folks in the world to help guide them and lead them as best we can through our experience. And they can make the decision themselves as to whether we're right or we're wrong. They can make the decision to follow along or not to follow along. So, yes, you're right, Stephen.
Yeah, they are. There was somebody back in the 1920s, one of the early grandfathers of this New Age movement. Maybe somebody will know who actually had this little quote. But the quote is something about, "We will have our New World Order, and millions will die fighting this New World Order."
Mm-hmm. Of course,
I don't remember who.
Well,
it was,
you know, and this also goes back to the Founding Fathers, who we've talked about this so many times, but it needs to be talked about again because mainstream's not covering it, alternative radio's not covering it that much, and that's the fact that the Founding Fathers, you know, they were for the rich, they were for white people only, they were not for homosexuals, they were not for children, they were not for women, they were not for blacks, they were not for the Indian or the indigenous, as we say. They were only for rich old white men, and that's it. The phrase, you know, we could go back to 1773, we could go back to Lexington, I could give you a complete history on the colonies coming together. The founders never thought people could think for themselves. Never in any culture, any tradition, any dogma, any creed, any place in the world, the chieftains, the leaders, the lords, the princes, the overlords, never, ever would have ever thought about allowing a commoner to think for themselves or to run a community, let alone a world. So we have to talk about that on alternative public radio. We have to get that through people's heads, that the New World Order is in no way ready to give up any decisions whatsoever beyond ordering dog food at Walmart to the commoner. period, and they're not going to.
Well,
because
on.
Commoners aren't able to take care of themselves. Commoners are not able to deal with this complex situation that we're in here today. They're not able to understand the economics, the international relations, the globalism. They're not able to understand the war machine. They're not able to understand all of the complex entities within government. There's no possible way that the commoners can run this society, period. Now, that's on the upside or the downside, depending on how you look at it. But then you go to the other end of the spectrum with all the New Agers talking about holding hands, I'll say it again, singing Kumbaya, blah, blah, blah. That's all just BS, complete BS. You hand them the world, and they're going to screw it up. You hand them the world, and it's going to collapse. So we're back to the same point. If we want something better, what is it? How are we going to get it? And what are we going to do when it's dropped in our lap? And how many years is it going to take to establish this new order of the new age?
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Joe.
I was thinking about Aristotle and talking about, you know, the three ways to persuade people is through ethos, pathos, and logos. And I think you have to use, and then it relates back to my idea that I was talking about earlier on about an egg, you know, and a sperm fertilizing an egg. Like, we want to sow the seed in people's minds, and we need to do it from many different directions. So we can do it through appealing to them emotionally, through pathos. Or we can do it by appealing to them logically, by logos, or we can lead them by them just learning to trust our character, which is sort of by.
Well, who are them? Okay, I have to interrupt here and say, who are them? And whether you drop Legos or Magos or Pecos or Picos or Peepi into their lap, that's not going to do a bit of good, because the New World Order and the cabal doesn't give a hoot about any of that rat stuff. And they're not going to allow the commoners to take care of themselves. They're not going to allow the commoners to take over this very complex machine. So we need to really define, Jill, and that's what we're all about here, is first of all, is that a correct statement? I would say no, your statement is not correct. It's way off base, because them, who are them? Them are who? The New Age, the commoners,
them. No matter who them is, them will die. Because them only has a lifespan of probably, 80 or 100 years at the absolute most. So
we're not sure about that at all.
Well, people are always changing, and so this is why I'm suggesting that if we want to persuade anybody, we're best to persuade the young wealthy intelligentsia, and then the grassroots people and the world. I think you just approach it from everywhere, but you don't leave anyone out.
What are they going to do? Sign a change.org petition? Go down to the courthouse and occupy? They're going to hold hands and do a sit-in chant? It's been done now.
It depends who you're targeting.
Well, by the way, let's go back to your original statement of them. Who are you targeting? There again, you mentioned a few people, but what are you going to do if you hand them all of that information?
If you ask a question, let me answer it. So do finish. Okay. Do make the question, and then
Let's just say that let's just say that 10 million people did rise up, okay? The New World Order is going to come in with a machine, and they're going to pop them off like BBs, like they have in Syria, Jordan, Turkey, Malaysia, South Africa. So then what?
Okay, so who is the new... let me finish this. I'm talking about changing the minds of the people in positions of power, such as...
Oh, forget it, baby.
Carla...
You're not going to do that.
In 100 years' time, how many of the New World Order that are alive today will still be alive?
Forever, baby. They've been alive 6,000 years
that
we know
matter.
Of, and they're going to continue.
That's
to
right.
They don't have the same communication.
They're working on families.
Steven.
They're working on families.
No, they're getting better at what they do, Jill, not worse. They're getting better, more powerful. They're more infused with money. All of our municipalities, including the one where you are there in that small village, has their two sets of books. I was looking at, matter of fact, I've got a breaking story coming out on We Roar Radio on Saturday from 6 to 9, which I'm hoping, we can break this story. Every municipality, every school district, every pension fund, every state, every federal government, every county government has two sets of books. One might say we have a surplus of $1.4 billion, And the other secret set of books is $1.8 trillion. So, and then they go out and raise taxes, and then the stupid people who don't understand that they have two sets of books that have been programmed to believe in this one budgetary word. By the way, the word budget is a word for idiots, okay? Budget simply means let's talk to the idiots at the council meeting. Let's talk to the idiots at the town hall meeting, and let's make them believe that we have a budget. This is it. We're running low on the school fund, so we need to raise taxes. We need to go sell some bonds next week. And it's all BS. You're sitting there. I've got five sets of books right here in front of me right now, which I'm going to break the story on. We roar. Heather just suggested that I go ahead and break the story. It's got to come out. All of these municipalities have two sets of books, okay? And the New World Order owns the secret set of books, okay? And we're talking about this country $250 trillion in debt. Well, we're not $250 trillion in debt if you look at the secret set of books. We're rich. The United
That's
States
right.
is one of the wealthiest nations in the world.
We have
we
countless
don't have a
money.
Deficit anywhere.
Joe.
We don't have any
Joe,
kind of deficit.
There is no
it's
deficit,
just that
Joe.
We've got about $8 trillion locked up in secret funds.
Oh, there's more than that, yeah. A lot more than that.
$100 trillion, you know, whatever. We've got trillions and trillions and trillions behind the dark wall.
offshore banks,
you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying, Jill, we're not going to change. If you're going back to the Edwin Rush theory, forget it. We're not going to change.
I'm not in Edwin Rush theory. I'm Jill Trebilcock. I choose to disagree with you.
Yeah,
well, welcome to your opinion, and I am glad of your opinion, but I have an extra opinion. Yeah, I don't care if a billion people have that opinion. I am offering my opinion.
Okay. You go ahead and put it out on the air publicly so everybody could bite into it. Go ahead.
Well, my opinion is that you have to educate absolutely everybody, including the people who can't be educated, such as the New World Order. So you grab them in the positions. Stop laughing over me.
You laughed at me when I told you I had cancer. So I can laugh at you if I want to.
Jill.
True.
Go ahead.
Jill,
go ahead.
There's. Yeah. I don't see any.
I don't feel heard. Edwin Rush, come on this show.
Go ahead, Jill. I mean, go ahead, Stephen. What?
Jill, there's no form of government that works for the people, that gives the people any kind of freedom at all. None.
And they're not going
that
to.
That is your opinion, and I agree in many ways, but we still have methods. We still, at the moment, at this point in time, in 2013, we still at least have some documents that we can appeal to use, that we can use in some ways. We still have various methods of persuasion.
What documents are those, Jill?
Oh, the Bill of Rights and all of those things that are overridden.
I want to finish my thoughts before I get interrupted.
Yeah,
again.
You have your thoughts.
Before I get interrupted again. Anyways, there is no form of government that works and benefits the people when the monetary system is involved. And the crony corporatism of the elite is involved. The only way a government can work for anyone, the only way a power structure can work for anyone is the abolishment of government, the peaceful abolishment of government.
Another opinion.
Another opinion, really? How?
Yeah, well, government will arise from the ashes, no matter what you call it, because Lord of the Flies will not work.
A
form of government will arise. So what form of government are you proposing? I'm saying it was probably a better form of government than one we have, because it's... But do
I'm proposing. I'm proposing a form of government, before I get interrupted again, without monetary incentive. You take money out of government, you take crony corporatism out of government, you take military contracts out of government, you take commerce out of government. I'm all for it. But yeah.
The problem with that, Stephen, is the people continue to buy in and fund and nourish the cabal. and they're spoiled and they're addicted and they're lazy and they're clueless and they love their new cars and trucks and boats and jet skis and their mortgages of $250,000. They love the fact that they'll never own a car, they'll never own a home, they'll never own any land, that the state owns it all, that their child's birth certificate is traded on the New York Stock Exchange. It's worth over $1.5 million when the child is born. The state automatically takes the child, no matter whether they're in Australia, they're in the United States, or they're in wherever they are, China. So the problem is we have these clueless individuals here called commoners feeding the same system that they want to kill. And so as long as we do not boycott the NFL and Walmart and Chase Manhattan and all of these other people that the Rothschilds control, as long as the people continue to feed the machine, we're not going to be able to get rid of the machine. And you've got 7.4 billion people on the planet, and you've got over 300 million in the United States who are feeding this system fat. So how do we stop that? Any opinions?
Yeah, we have to build an alternative or complementary community currency.
No, you didn't know. You didn't understand. People don't want to give up their products. They don't want to give up anything. They don't want to give up their currency. They don't want to give up their driver's licenses. They don't want to give up their insurance on their car.
We're doing it in Dalesford again at the moment. We once had a let scheme, and I've actually spoken to the guy who ran it. We've had a couple of conversations about it so far. In which we're going to do the barter system. Last time I didn't actually work it properly. I actually ended up being owed about $1,500 that I didn't take in services. But the people who did use it very successfully. And we swapped, there's a lot of vegetables, a lot of things. You can swap anything. You can swap cars. You can swap anything you want.
Well, talk to my 300 million people getting ready to go to 400 million and 400 billion. I'm sorry. Stephen, tell me 300. I'm sorry, 400 million. Stephen, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I apologize, but that was a hot thing you said. Tell me what your opinion is on that, Stephen. As long as our 300 million here keep feeding this damn cabal, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to re-educate the people to stop being spoiled to the system and sucking off of the nanny state?
Can I interrupt just before Stephen answers that?
I'm sorry. I had somebody talking to me. What was your question again?
Can I say something first?
I said, Stephen, go ahead. I said, Stephen, I didn't mean to interrupt you, and I apologize.
I had somebody talking to me.
How can we stop people from feeding off of this system? How can we stop them from being spoiled and sucking the tit of the state?
Destroy television stations. Destroy
TV stations. Well, we're not going to do that. That's not going to happen, Stephen. You know that, without violent overthrow.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm saying there is no form of government that benefits people. There is no form of entertainment when you have monetary gain, monetary incentive involved. People are too greedy, too selfish, and too apathetic to, what's another word, for people that don't have sympathy? People that don't have sympathy for others.
What's the population of Dalesford? Jill?
I don't know. It depends on the town or the shire. But
13 or 14 people. How many?
Well, listen, I would like to talk about, I'd like to not answer that question. I'd like to be a politician and take it somewhere else. About 1980 or something like
take
that.
Take it somewhere else.
You know, like, yeah, well, the thing is, I watched Buddhism take over Australia. I was one of the very first Tibetan Buddhists in Australia, right? There were none. You know, we didn't even have, we had nothing, right? And now, when the Dalai Lama came to Australia last time, I mean, in the very first time, we were just in a small hall, right? Now, we hire the tennis, the Rod Laver tennis pavilion. We might even have to do a football field next time because it is so big. When the Dalai Lama first came to Australia, no one even noticed. Now when the Dalai Lama comes to Australia, we have inner city traffic jams. So I have watched the world change in my very life, and now I've watched the Dalai Lama meet the presidents, the prime ministers, and go all over the world just in my little life. Now, I never believed Buddhism would be big. I always thought that I was a weirdo on the outside. and that I was one of the few people who was interested in Tibetan Buddhism in the world. Now I say the word Tibetan Buddhism or Dalai Lama, and nearly everybody knows his name. So I cannot believe that little small things cannot become huge.
Yeah, well, I wish you could. Small things hopefully can
small
become
good
huge.
Things.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mind's in the gutter totally here. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this stupid post here on my page that just popped up as y'all were talking. Let's see, 12,464 shares. Now let's just guess what this is, Stephen. 12,000 shares, Stephen.
It's about ranking the world.
Well, now look here. Ranking Derek Jeter's 9 ex-girlfriends by his performance on the field. Now here's another one for you. Go hug yourself. Go tell yourself that you're so special. That's just another one that had 4,600 shares.
Jill, you're taking it off track. Yes,
Jill,
Stephen.
To effectively change people's minds, Prepper just told me, and I can tell it to you too, Kyler, because he said to mention it to you. You have to throw the little, well, Jill mentioned it also, it's little seeds. And you have to keep hammering the message. We started
repetition.
Out small. We started out small. It's repetition. They've used repetition on us. They keep hammering lies. It was Adolf Hitler said, you tell a big enough lie and keep repeating it, it becomes the truth.
That was Goebbels.
No, that was Hitler.
it was
Hitler. And by the way, that's what we're doing here for anybody that would like to know. I mean, that's what we do here every night on the air is we plant those little seeds. And as you know, I'm on 5 nights a week, 4 nights a week, and you're on, Stephen, 4 or 5 nights a week. That's what we do. That is who we are. And, you know, no one has said any different. I mean, we know that's the answer. The fact is, though, there's not enough people out there doing what we do to make the change necessary anytime soon. That's why I say we're not going to see any major change in our lifetime. And if I had $10 million, I'd lay it on the table right now to anyone who challenged me on that. We are not going to see any changes in our lifetime.
I'm coming to pick up the money.
No, we're not going to see any changes at all.
I'm coming to pick up the money, and I'm going to live a very long time.
As a matter of fact, for anyone who has a broad view of the world and not such a limited, myopic view, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. For anyone who can see the fullness of all of this, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for people who have been shut in, you know, to these small villages to be able to reach out. To be able to reach out and see what's really going on around the world. I mean, Jill, you're one of the ones that said you're shocked at what Stephen and I have brought to you. You're shocked when we tell you these things. You didn't even know what the New World Order was when we came into your life.
There were two people that I talked to just an hour and a half ago that did not know what a shill or a minion was.
I talked to 7 people this week that I wrote their names down, and I looked at them, and I asked them where they were from. They didn't know anything about the things we talk about. Nothing. They barely knew where they were, and these are hard-working people that make money, that have jobs, they have degrees, and they were clueless
to
any of this stuff.
I basically had to tell them that a shill and a minion was just basically a sycophant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different word, mm-hmm. different characterizations, different.
And there's millions of them out there. Some of them don't even have to work for the NSA.
No,
there's millions of people out there acting as shills when they don't even know they're acting as shills.
Yes,
and those are the clueless people, the ones that try to change your mind and bring you into the new age of holding hands and singing Kumbaya and saying that all those poor people in Syria they chose their contract before they came here. They chose to be freezing and have their moms and dads burned alive and lose all their homes, and they chose that contract.
Yeah,
and, those are the idiots that we're dealing with here.
And the nerve agents dropped on them, yes, and the
of course,
and the depleted uranium shells dropped on them too. They all chose that. Yes,
these are the idiots that we're dealing with, and I say idiots because they're murderers. They're accessories to murder. They are perpetuating murder. They're building the new world order as
sure,
we speak,
sure.
Denying reality by denying yes. reality. So if they chose this contract to be in this world and to be molested. Burned alive, tortured, then hey, what do we need to worry about it for? We
yes,
can't well, intervene in that. They chose this contract.
Course,
they chose this way of life.
These are the same people that will tell a woman to stop themselves from being a rape to just pee their own pants. And that's going to...
Of course.
Yeah,
I'm going to rape you because God told me to, or because it's ordained for me to rape you, or I'm the king here, I'm the master here, or you're, hey, this contract you wrote before you came into your mom's womb... This is it. This is what you're supposed to do. As a matter of fact, there was something on the internet the other day. Did you hear about it? The guy that convinced all those women that he was going to, they had devils in them, in their vaginas. They had devils in their vaginas, and he was an exorcist.
It's not surprising.
And he was charging them to get the devil out of their vaginas, and they were paying him, and this went to court. It was all over Facebook.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of people we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I've sent you a message in Facebook, Carla.
Breaking news. Oh, my God. That's funny. I'm not going to put that on the internet. There's a cock in my bed. There's a giant rooster standing on this woman. A giant rooster. What's
She's
going on with this?
Asleep in bed. It's quite funny.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, Jill. That's got to be a doctored pic. This big rooster's just standing on this woman's arm while she's down asleep. Send it to Stephen. Okay. That's funny.
Just to get you.
I'm sorry.
So we sort of missed the we sort of went off the point there about and it is Goebbels. It's actually if you have a look at your own Skype quote, Stephen, you've quoted Goebbels and not Hitler.
Goebbels may have wrote the propaganda quote.
Does it really matter? Does it really matter who said
Goebbels,
it? Well, what matters? No,
Goebbels was his
what
propaganda.
Matters, what matters is that we do keep on sowing seeds. I really agree with whoever said that in chat, is that we have to keep sowing the seeds. And as I said in the beginning of the conversation, we need to use different forms of persuasion, both feeling and logic and sort of devotional, like the... Or respect and ethics and
okay. If I'm worth a billion, if I'm worth $1 billion with an open bank account,
right? All of a sudden, money's the highest thing.
I don't give a dang hoot about your logic or your reason or your frequency or your anything else. I just
don't care.
That's you,
but I'm not you, Carla. I'm a very different person. I'm the duck.
Well, you ain't in the New World Order either. You're one of us commoners. So I'm just saying, when you've got a bloodline that goes back 6,000 years and you're running the show, baby, and you've got an open bank account, then that's you're not going to care about anyone except yourself and your own bloodline.
That's not true, because that's assuming.
Prove it to me.
Well, I cannot prove it to you, but I can try and persuade you.
No. You can't persuade me of that, but I'd let you try, of course. But show me some proof that a Rothschild has done some real charity work and really got out there and worked with the homeless and the battered women and really given up all their money and, you know, just donated about 9/10 of it. Show me one great New World Order figure who has really turned around and turned a new leaf over and just started speaking in tongues and going up and down the pew singing psalms. Show me.
Kyla.
I don't want someone who goes up and down the queue pinging songs.
What, Stephen?
UK Prepper wants me to ask you, or actually tell you, does not matter how small you are as long as you have faith and a plan of action.
To me, that's just complete BS. I don't believe that at all. Most of the people that most, you know, faith is wonderful. Faith is great. I mean, I believe when I sit down in a chair, I have faith that it's going to hold me up. But that's not the New World Order. That's not the cabal that we're not talking about.
Now, listen, I can argue that.
Well,
good. Come on.
You might be
you might have faith in a chair because when you sit on it, it will hold you. But you won't necessarily have that the first time you sit in it.
Well, you might.
That faith comes from experience.
You might be beat already. Kyler, you know, that's
might be what
I see. You might be beat already. If that's a
No, it's just a very realistic observation of the world as it is today. There's a lot of people, like I said, that have a very small world view and haven't been where I've been and done what I've done, and I'd go head-to-head with them and ask them, where have you been? Have you been behind the dark wall?
Have you
been on the missions? Have you ran with the jet setters? Have you ran with the billionaires like I have? Do you know what they talk about behind closed doors?
Well, what's the difference, Tyler?
What's the difference between pessimism and realism?
Well, I can say
Tyler?
Yes, I have.
What's the difference between pessimism and realism?
Good question. Good sense.
Well, it depends on how brainy you are. I mean, you know, a realist, being a realist, you can be a very intelligent realist and still understand that there are many people out there working good deeds and doing good things in the communities. And if people like Prepper would listen to some of my shows, over 1,000 of them, he would know that I talk about solutions constantly. Probably over 50% of my shows and my writings that are around the world deal with hardcore community, unity, fellowship, solutions. But now, at this particular moment in time, we are talking about, we've been discussing the New World Order and the Cabal and all of these other horrible things, including what you brought up, Stephen, mind control, pharmaceuticals, and so forth. So let's don't get hung up on one moment here.
No,
that's like taking one passage out of the Bible and trying to, I'm referring to Prepper. Let's don't take one passage out of the Bible and say, we know the Bible, you know.
I'm going to stand up for Prepper's side of the argument here.
Prepper doesn't need any of y'all to represent him. He's a big boy. But I'm just saying.
He does have what's called the right of reply.
Of course he does, and I'm sure he will. I know he will. I'm just saying that I've done over 50% of my shows are hardcore solutions, but people, again, won't boycott. They keep feeding the New World Order, and as long as we keep feeding it, then it's going to keep growing. The only answer here is to do what Stephen said and cut off the money. Just cut off the money. If 10 million people would stand up and stop paying taxes and stop buying new cars on the credit and homes on the credit and all this jewelry and clothing and this and that and the other on the credit, I'm sure Prepper's got a house full of stuff over there that's probably got a credit card, maybe. Ask him. So as long as we do that, nothing's going to change, like Stephen said. Nothing until we get rid of this monetary system. And what you get after this monetary system may be worse than what we have right now, may take 50 years to reorganize. You can have the floor.
Whoops. Somebody's trying to call. I can't take that call. It's, good grief. I hope it's not who I think it is. I'm in the middle of a show. I can't take it. It's a cell phone.
Carla, you might be able to talk us down, and you might be able to talk the fastest and everything, and you might be the most emphatic, but I still don't think your logic stands up.
Well, that's I didn't say. Hey, this has nothing to do with you, Jill. I mean,
I'll be right back, guys. I'll be right back
without worrying.
Well,
all right,
I'd like to argue with that.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Who's
Steve?
This?
This is Lynn Lombardozzi.
Hi, Lynn. I'm in a show. Can I call you back later?
I thought, good, because I thought it might be a showtime. Didn't know what was on tonight and who was in, so.
Yeah, can I call you back later?
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
I interrupted for this, but all right.
Okay.
Bye. All right, let me get back. All right. Sorry, guys. I took the call quick. It's who I thought it was.
Okay, so what I'm saying, I actually am a bit of a drip torture myself. I'm bringing it back to, you've said things like, try and prove what you're saying by showing me some examples of some people who have actually walked away from these powerful families. Well, I actually don't know the names of any, but there are many of them. And there are some quite famous ones. There's one very famous one whose name I haven't got a clue, but I will research that and get back to you on that. But there's always somebody who, you know, will sort of go against the tide. But basically, for anyone to go against the tide, they need to be able to get a gap in their chain of thinking. If they've been programmed, you know, from a very early age, and, you know, maybe if you believe in reincarnation, they keep being attracted back to that same family. But again, if you believe in reincarnation, they could deliberately choose to get into that family. Just, you'll have to talk.
We'll have to talk. I don't know if we can do that without her, Kyler. Do you think? Uh-oh. Kyler left too. Sounds like
Jill's trying to make a good point. I'm sorry, I had my cell phone dumb mute. I'm the dumb mute. Remember me, noodle guy? I'm noodle guy. Jill's making some great points, you know, and I give her a lot of kudos for thinking she can go out there from Dalesford in that little town of 14 and do any of this stuff at all. I mean, it's going to take some big kahunsas.
Well, you know, they started out small, Kyler. They started out small hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
Yes, thousands of years ago. And they got big. They got
large. Well, everything can change. You know, if there's one thing we all believe in, if, you know, we talk about quantum physics or physics of any sort, we know that nothing is concrete.
Well, there is.
Everything is organic. Everything changes.
There is a reaction to every action.
Right.
If we have a positive action, we will have a positive reaction.
A terrible thing is, why do we fund the billions and billions and billions and billions to this war machine every morning when we know we're killing hundreds of thousands of innocent people every morning before we get up and have our tea and coffee? Why are Americans so dead set on fighting these invisible terrorists over the ocean? Tell me, you know,
can anyone answer that? War on terror is really a war of fear, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is.
It's our war on fear. If only we put the war on fear into our own fears.
If it was actually true, Jill, but the war on terror is nothing but a farce.
It's a hoax. It's the biggest hoax.
That was just an idea of mine that just came into my head then.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, the war on terror, we need to have our own internal wars on our own internal terrors. You know,
well, we are.
The revolution begins inside.
That's what we're doing, Jill. We're trying to have this smallish revolution turn into a large revolution.
But we also have a terror that things won't change. I personally believe, while y'all are mentioning this very important subject,
I personally believe that we're not going to make any change without a violent, bloody revolution. That's just a fact. I mean, that's just a fact. You think we're going to change any of this in 25 or 30 years?
You think we can kind of come into the new age
in 25, 30 years without a bloody revolution?
That's what they want. That's why they're...
No, I don't agree, Stephen.
Well, they want the population culled down.
And if that's what they want, then that's what they need to get. If that's what they want. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. We're well armed.
Yes, they've already said by 2045 they want the population to be down to 5 billion. And by 2080...
I don't really blame them from a cabal standpoint. I mean, if I was cabal, I have enough brains to be cabal. If I was the fascist, I would definitely want to get rid of these peasants, these no-good-for-nothing welfare people and these drug addicts and lazy bums and clueless idiots. I mean, I couldn't wait to get rid of them. I would have already unleashed the N924-do-do-do, you know? But I'm very surprised that they haven't already unleashed the guns. Very surprised that they haven't.
The thing is, they're still humans. They're still humans, and we're only dealing with humans.
That's debatable.
That's a preconception. They are humans. Everybody is human. And we all have feelings, and we all have the five skandhas, like form, feeling, perception, impulse, and consciousness. We all have these particular qualities of our mind, and we can all be influenced. And this is why at the beginning of today's conversation, I decided to bring up these three powers of persuasion that Aristotle actually mentioned, which is ethos, pathos, and logos. And
how many of you know, Jill included, that the government owns 85% of the global the GNP?
I feel as though I'm hitting my head against a brick wall here.
This is back to your logos thing. How many of you know that the government owns 85% of all of the monetary energy in the world? There's something very wrong with that figure. Stephen, did you know that?
Yeah.
There is something very wrong.
I was trying to respond to somebody that made a statement. He agreed with me. They want a violent revolution. They have to have a violent revolution.
We'll kill more people that way.
They have to have a justified reason. They don't have any justified reason right now just to start killing people, Jill.
I can't believe all of this.
But we know, though, Stephen, we know that it's either or. I mean, we know it's either or. It's not like, well, you know, they're waiting around for this and waiting around for that. Well, maybe they are.
Jill. Everything that they do, Jill, is systematically done to make us mad. They don't do anything by
accident. I agree with everything you guys say.
Jill, they don't do anything by accident. Nothing. There's nothing. They cannot claim to be the smartest people in their field, and then when they screw up, allegedly screw up, claim to have ignorance. Or, we didn't know that was going to happen. We're sorry. We're stupid now, but we'll be smart again tomorrow.
It doesn't work that way. I have people here, Stephen, telling me that these wars are started to go save us from the terrorists that are coming over the oceans trying to kill us every day. They say, oh, my God, if we didn't send these soldiers, I had a lady tell me yesterday, my son's over there fighting the Taliban, and there's Taliban everywhere. They're at the airports. They're behind the buildings. They're downtown. And I said, ma'am, slow down. I said, where are they? And she said, they're everywhere. Haven't you heard the news? They're fighting the terrorists here. And I said, ma'am.
Yeah, they're under your blanket chewing at your toes, right?
The thing is, everything you guys say is true, but there's a billion, gillion, trillion Googleplex. I don't know whatever the words are. It's such a massive amount of other things that are also true.
Well, these are called variables and vectors in mathematics, and yes, we know that. Jill, I mean, I'm a mathematician.
Good. Well, I'm glad you agree.
They have to have us, our dissenting views. We have to be the ones to awaken the masses. They are not going to awaken the masses. They have to have a violent revolution. They have to have they have to be justified in killing us.
This is the next sentence.
But let me finish. You look at the Agenda 21 map here in America. You look at all of the federal land that has been taken over by the federal government in the last 100 years. The people's land is quickly or slowly, however you want to look at it, eroding. They are pushing us into mega cities. They want rural areas. They're making everywhere that you just about step federal land off limits. The people that they actually want to keep alive are the ones dumb enough to work the machinery, like George Carlin said.
Mm. I was taught that in sociology at Melbourne Grammar. We needed the workers. The thing is, I got away from that idea. Mind you, I had a pretty wacky parents that taught me to think outside the box, and I was very lucky that I chose well. But and I didn't come from enormous wealth like the sort of people you're talking about. But I'm still saying that. Let me finish.
Yeah,
please. Kyla, and don't just leave me for a second. Is really, really true. And then I'm saying, so that's some of the ingredients of the pie, but we can add an awful lot more to it. And I refuse there to be an end to infinity. There is no brick wall at the end of the possibilities. The possibilities are a lot more spacious than we realize. It's when we believe that there aren't possibilities that we cease to find them. And that's why you guys are both on public internet radio. And that's why I see myself as a balance in this situation. And why Kyla and I balance each other so well is because he wants to talk about two very important truths, which are suffering and the causes of suffering. And I want to talk about the cessation of suffering and the path leading to the cessation. And I refuse to believe that there aren't many, 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 many infinite paths to the cessation of suffering.
No, there are solutions.
Good on you.
Taking your own power back is the solution.
I agree with you, Jill, 100%. I do. And Stephen, I think this has been a fantastic show. I just want to give everybody, Heather has set us up a new Twitter account for Alternative Public Radio International, and it is twitter.com/APRI Friends 2014. That's twitter.com/APRIFRINEDS2014 on Twitter. Go ahead, y'all.
And I said from the beginning, we have to save ourselves. We have to take our own power back. That's the only way. We have to tell them to go shove off. I think I said that on John Bravo's show. And we have to use their own terms in their own courts. We have to beat Caesar in Caesar's court to be effective. Mm-hmm. We have to retrain ourselves to be old-fashioned. We have to sacrifice. We have to keep from feeding the beast anymore.
Yes, we do.
We have to throw these computers away. What did Tim characterize it as Monday? Somebody remind me, please. Something about a box. He called it a box. I was listening on my mobile phone, and I was driving somewhere. These little boxes that we were looking into, you know, we're typing on a keyboard, and we're looking at a screen, and we're talking into a microphone. Mm-hmm. We look at the television, the radio as a real entity, and it's not. It's nothing but a fraud.
We also have to be concerned with the new cyborg technology. So that's something that we don't often stick on. We need to stick on it because the New World Order, the elite, the ruling class, they are already ready for our download of our brains into the main computers. We're already there. We're already there right now. This is not a conspiracy. This is not some hamby-bamby kind of alternative news. This is a fact.
Yeah, I read it. I read the stuff on it.
Turn your speaker off, Jill. You're echoing. There you go. Thanks. We are there already. And by 2045, they predict that if we're not eliminated physically, we will be downloaded by force into these computers and put in our proper positions.
They want it by the 2080s. By the 2080s somewhere, but I'm going to go ahead and take another break here.
Cool.
Be right back everyone again in just a few minutes. All right, and we're back, everyone. Okay, you got the last 20-plus minutes here of my show. I was trying to bring somebody in, but there it is. Oh, you're in there now. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Stephen. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Hello, Kyler. Hello, Jillian. How are you?
Hey, good to have you on the show today, bud.
Great to be here.
This is Michael
Rockin'
Stephen.
Show today, man. Rocking show today.
This is Michael Stephen.
Yeah, you guys are doing great. I was listening to you.
Cool.
What's on your mind, Mike?
Yeah, I was thinking some things you were saying before about, you know, what are we going to do to change the present situation that we find ourselves. I think it really demands a transformation of the culture. And we can think of these big, giant solutions, but I think the solution has been proposed by the ancients and the Greeks in particular, the Greek philosophers. And it's a virtuous life. It's a return to virtue. If you have individual peoples embracing virtue in the Greek pagan sense of that word, we're not even getting into Christianity or anything like that, just looking at that alone, you're talking about transforming individuals to the degree that they will be awake, they will be aware of what's going on, they'll be passionate people, they'll be courageous people. Yeah, you name it. There'll be charitable people. There'll be wise people. I mean, it's a return to virtue, and that's the key. And if people, if individuals and people as a whole raise the bar in this regard, I think that it's just going to automatically cause them to question the status that they're in or wherever they find themselves and head for something better. So I was curious to hear what you guys think about that.
I'm busy sitting with my spelling mistakes. Look, I completely and utterly agree with virtue ethics. I think they are the highest form of ethics. I mean, logically, they are. You can't lose that in a debate. You know, like, virtue ethics are it, and I 100% agree, Mike, and good on you for bringing it up.
Thanks, lady.
Well, I'd like to say that the New World Order, we'll just use that Kleenex kind of word. I hate it, but we have to. Just the New World Order, most of us out there know what it is. They're not sitting around thinking any of this. So that's one thing that we all need to realize hard and fast. I wish they were, and I wish Jill was completely right 100%, and I wish we could integrate with these folks, and I wish that they were thinking like we do about putting together a wonderful community with fellowship and sharing everything together, a little bit of communism there, a little bit of anarchy, a little bit of sweetness. I wish that was the case, folks, but it's not reality. It's not reality. It's childish, immature thinking, clueless thinking. And I agree with the caller also, Mike, that we must start at the community level, and we must do it from the grassroots out. But there again, we're not, because we have too many people severely and chronically affected by this and infected by this cabal. So these are issues that we need to discuss, and everyone tries to go and run around the circle and away from it. Even we all do. Well, I don't. I'm one of the worst that probably don't run away from it. We need to discuss these issues from a very mature point of view.
Let me ask you a question, Kyler. Do you think that we got here instantaneously, or did it take a very long period of time? Was it quick or was it long?
We got here. In what way do you mean?
Do you mean the singularity, from the singularity, the supposed singularity, or are you talking about the 6,000 year history that we kind of sort of know of, or are you talking about God, or what are you talking about?
I like the 6,000 one. That sounds pretty good to me.
It took a long time, and the big fish have always been eating up the little fish ever since this thing began. You know, there's been the smart, and there's been the dumb, there's been the rich, and there's been the slave. So it's always been this way, and it will probably, in my opinion, my opinion, it'll probably always be this way. And no, I don't believe that we should quit. I don't believe we should back down. I do believe that we should try with all of our might. I'll be the first one on the front line, and by the way, have been. So I believe it took a long time to get this way, and if you'll talk to the psychiatrist or anybody with a mind, you'll know that a habit takes much, much longer to stop than it did to start. So,
We can't even say it's always been this way, because it depends on what part of history. Cannot agree.
No, it doesn't. Show me some history. Talk about something.
Enlightenment periods. There have been periods of great enlightenment.
Enlightenment was the worst damn thing that ever happened to us. The Enlightenment period was what spawned these clueless New Agers that are sitting around playing with their pituitary gland. So, that's ridiculous. Well, I do.
Well, anyway, I like what Mike's saying, because what Mike's saying is that it's going to be slow, aren't you, Mike? You're saying it's going to be slow.
Isn't that what we're all saying?
Yeah. It's not going to happen overnight. I think it took a long time for us to really get their world order.
No, precisely. They didn't do this. We did all this, and we're doing all this today.
Well, I mean, let's just focus on the last few hundred years. Let's look at the history of the United States, okay?
Let's go since 1773. Let's talk about Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson.
And just look at the way in which they were able, very patiently, very slowly, imperceptibly, gain control of this republic that we once had here. Okay, they didn't do it instantaneously. They were patient. They were virtuous in the way in which they did what they did.
Michael, I'm not so sure that
we can do the same thing right back to them.
I'm not so sure that we ever had it.
It was evil virtue, but it was
evil virtue. Yeah. And it's evil virtue now.
It was diabolical, but it was really vicious. Instead of virtuous, it was vicious.
Michael.
But they were so patient. Yes, Stephen, I'm sorry.
I'm not so sure we ever had a republic. No,
we didn't. And I was going to say that a while ago. We never did have a republic.
They've been eroding everything good about this country from day one after they sign that supposed document?
As I said on one of my last shows, they gave us a pseudo republic. They gave us a pseudo democracy because they knew they were in control anyway. And if you'll read the Constitution, if you'll read 1773, 1774 to 78, you'll see that the founders never, and if you heard the earlier show, you know that the founders never intended for common people to make any decisions for themselves. They think we're all stupid, ignorant, and dumb. Right. And we are. And we are.
We are.
Okay, the majority of people are dumb, stupid, and ignorant.
Dumb, stupid, and ignorant.
So it was never meant to be a republic. It was never meant to be a republic.
Didn't Ben Franklin say after the Constitutional Convention to someone that asked, you know, what have you given us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it.
Yes, of course.
Right. So, but they started eroding. They started eroding the republic right at that time, too.
Agreed.
Yes, and our government's running, by the way, I wanted to say this before we get off air. Our government today is running on the same premise as the founders did. The old white, rich, powerful men who hated blacks, homosexuals, children, and women, and Indians, and any other indigenous folks who didn't measure up to their standard. And by the way, they also hated poor white trash. They were not able to vote. If you didn't have a certain many hectares of land, if you didn't have this or that, you weren't able to vote even if you were white. So they're running on the same exact premise today in 2014 as they were in 1773 and before. Okay?
Can I come up with a quick solution?
Sure.
Yes, of course, dear.
Well, we're talking about one thing that we can do right now, and there's a big debate about whether to teach religion or whether to teach ethics in schools.
Well, I say we just smoke a big old blunt.
Well, the way that religion is taught, the way that religion is taught is so theocratically. Oh, it's just like it's just such a horrible way that they teach religion in school.
It's taught in a brainwashing way.
Out of this damn thing.
It's taught in a brainwashing way.
They're saying, "What about you know a lot of the arguments for why they want to take ethics out, religion out of school is because they're scared that kids will lose their morality and that there's this
top-down.
They will. They will.
So the debate is okay. Let's switch from teaching religion in schools, if you're worried about moral virtue, and teach ethics in schools. And you know what? I reckon if we start teaching ethics in schools from a very young age and coupling it with everybody's idea that it will be a slow process.
Why don't we start with civics, Jill? Civics.
Civics
They've taken civics out of all the schools.
Well, they have to put it all back. They have to put ethics
back. Not the college I went to.
Why would we want to contend with people's education, Kyler? Why would we want to do that?
What do you mean, contend?
I'm being sarcastic. They would never want us to be educated in civics or anything else.
Jill doesn't understand. Also, I love Jill to death. We have our moments, but Jill was under some impression that we're going to go into the schools, and I kind of agreed with her, and I still kind of do, that we're going to go into the school where all these Nazis and these Jesuits are teaching and start telling them, giving them some kind of empathy cookie and hugging them and kissing them, saying, I'm talking here. Listen. So we do this. We go in there and we hug them and kiss them and blah, blah, blah. We know you guys want to teach our children right. We know that you don't want to brainwash them. We know that y'all are good people. Well, that's all BS. Yeah, it's all just complete BS. Our schools are run by the cabal, and our children are the robots and slaves of the cabal.
Don't get Michael started on the Rosicrucians and the Jesuits, right, Michael?
Well, the Nazis run the damn school system and space agency and everything else. The banking cartels, along with the Jews, they own us lock, stock, and barrel. I've got my slave clothes on here now.
You've got your slave clothes on now.
Yeah, I'm wearing a little spike necklace, and it's amazing. I'm eating out of a dog food bowl. I'm just waiting for the New World Order to come in and fix everything. The government's here to help you. Everybody, pull your pants down. Pull your pants down. The government's here, George.
Let's get back to teaching ethics in school. Is it ethical to get teachers to get kids to pull their pants down?
They just need to smoke a big blunt, not worry about it. That's what all the teachers need, to smoke blunts. That's it. I'm advocating for that today.
I'm laughing at Stephen Roberts has just sent me a hilarious post, as everybody can see it.
Tell us what you think.
But can I make one sentence, please? And that
is, yeah. course.
And that is, gag for on people who are listening, and it's very hard to gag me, but I do gag every now and then.
I know.
What I'm thinking is, you know, that is a topic that can be picked up on. That is a worldwide topic. I used to get email posts on teaching ethics in schools. I didn't read them in the end. I am not up with it, but I have endless. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of papers written on the debate as to whether to teach ethics in schools in my old Yahoo account. And it's a huge topic, and so you can get a lot of people involved in that. And I think teaching ethics in schools is incredibly important, and it is a topic of conversation in Australia and around the world.
If you took one book, if you took one book, Jillian, if you took Nicomachean Ethics by Aristotle, that one, okay, that's not Christian. It's just. It's just reasonable.
Yes,
it's philosophical
exactly.
ethics.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes,
and this is the one thing. There's no way that they can pin it on religion.
Mm.
You just look at it. It's it has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with philosophical, rational thought.
Exactly.
And it's truth. Mm. And the reason
but they don't want these kids to have reasonable
truth. No.
Logical,
I don't think they do.
Well, actually,
it's much easier to manipulate and control an unethical, immoral society, which is what we find ourselves in.
Yeah. Michael, did you know that they are giving our kids, they're giving them the label of sex pedophile if they sext and get caught sexting one of their breasts or something, genitalia to their friend? Did you know that they're making them lifelong pedophiles?
Sure.
Good Lord. I didn't know.
Yeah, there was a case. Well, there was a case just a few days ago. I seen some kind of article or something. Was it you, the pastor, Kyler, about some 16 or 17 year old girl? They're thinking about bringing charges up on her for pedophilia, for sexting.
Yes, and also
sexting
and
one
also
of her body
law
parts.
Law enforcement
yeah.
told me, my friends who give me behind the door information said that this is another way they can control the populace at a very young age
That's
without
right.
even trying.
That's right.
Catch them sexting or texting. If you want to get the parents now, just go into their Facebook and hack it. Find the kids sexting, and now the parents' CPS is coming.
That's right.
This is amazing.
Yes.
So being a minor and having their slate wiped clean at the age of 18, which used to be the case, does not apply in this.
Doesn't apply
anymore.
No, sir. Yep.
No,
wow.
sir.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding ways now. And by the way, before we go off the air, we've been working three court cases up here where the Facebook pages and all of their information has been laid out on the table at the court. I've been there while it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd go in there and lie. I'd try to protect myself. I'd go in there and do my best. I was a great liar when I was an agent. You know, we had to lie all the time to keep our informants, protected. We had to lie constantly. And now that the statute of limitations has run out, I can say I was the biggest liar and the best liar in the court cases. But they're fixing it now to where all of your Facebook stuff, you can't erase it, and it's all going to come up in court, and it's all going to be used now for university, and it's all going to be used now for employers.
Sure.
Got two people across the street that have already pulled them.
So
you can't hide anymore.
They don't even have to ask. They don't even have to ask for money. The Obama government and the Bush government, for that fact, threw money at Facebook and Twitter and MySpace.
They're all owned now.
Yeah.
By the NSA, Stephen.
Well,
I can't even.
The CIA is set to buy out Facebook here pretty soon.
No. They came in. They came in and talked to Zuckerberg. They came in and talked to all the heads. And they said, we own you. We control you.
Sure they do.
You're ours.
Yeah, they probably got all the good, juicy little dirt on these people. So
they offered them $100 million off-the-book payment.
Well, yeah, but these people are already billionaires, so what's $100
million? $100 million apiece for the ones who kept the secret quiet. That's a lot of dang money, baby.
Yeah, well, how do we know that...
A lot of dang money.
If it's such a big secret, how do we know that the CIA is going to buy Facebook then?
Well, we can just assume, I think, through our intellect and our study and our skill and our experience in this business that they've already bought lock, stock, and barrel. They control it. and I'm breaking the story on the network Saturday concerning the two sets of books that municipalities keep, and people are really going to start picking their guns
that's
up
not
and
really
the streets.
The CAFR's not really a secret, though, Kyler. The CAFR's been
it's not a secret, but it's been dead since 1980. We haven't brought it back since 1980. We need to bring it back like it was in 1980.
I know. I want to have either Clint Richardson or Walter Burian on again because we need
to bring these
shows back. You know, we need to get these things back out there. I do want to revisit a bunch of older show guests and bring it back on for, you know, updates and stuff like that, things that
Go ask some people, Stephen. I know you already have, what the CAFR is. They can't tell you.
Well, yeah. 99 9/10 of America can't tell you what a CAFR is. Exactly.
And the municipalities and school systems and pension fund people, they don't want anybody to know what's going on.
Certainly
with that
they don't.
Set of books.
Certainly they don't. Because that's their off the... off the book.
It's a rainy
little,
day.
Yeah,
rainy that's day it. Fun.
Exactly, rainy day fun.
Yeah, I think New York had a what $10 trillion rainy day fund last time I looked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, $10 trillion.
It's supposedly how much in debt, over $1 trillion or something like that, or.
Yep. California was the same way when they went down. Governor,
or no,
what's his
like
name?
$200 billion in debt or something like that. Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, and they had it. They had like $5.3 trillion in their rainy day fund.
Yep.
And the public never rose up. Public never did a damn thing about it.
Well, think about it. I believe I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I've heard that it's like over $7 out of $10 gets put in this second book.
And it does.
Gets put in
offshore
accounts.
Yeah, it does. It does. We've got trillions and trillions in offshore accounts, if you want to say that word. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just, you know what it is? It's beyond me. It's beyond my words. It's beyond. That's why I stammer stutter sometimes, and that's why I'm like,
that's why I
just
do
completely
too.
Go off.
That's why
I go off the rails.
I do too. Yeah.
Hey, I love you all going off the rails. I'm interested in Mike. Mike, what do you do for a living?
Same thing you and I are doing.
No. Yeah, I'm a broadcasting. I'm broadcasting a couple different radio stations.
Oh,
four
okay.
Of them.
Have you? And but you've studied Nicomachean ethics. You've studied Aristotle.
I have to scrape away the cobwebs, though.
Did you used to teach
it's been
it?
A while.
Hey guys, how about some closing comments
I did.
Here? Okay,
I did, yeah.
You used to teach philosophy at school.
Jill,
ethics
Jill,
at school.
How about some closing comments here?
Is Jill? It closing time?
Yeah, it's closing time. It's almost 2 a.m.
I'd like to play that song. It's closing time.
Oh, we should play my Mickey Gilly. I wish we had it. And the girls all get prettier.
Yeah, I love yeah, I love that one. It's hilarious.
Well, I appreciate everyone coming on, though. So I'm going to end it here within the next couple of minutes. I'm going to put Jill's song on there.
Oh, we're all in this together.
Yes, we are.
Well, Jill, you should sing us out, honey.
I can't sing you out. What is that song? It's closing time. Who does do that song?
Me, baby. I do it the best.
And the girls Mickey all pull Gilly. Their pants down. Oh,
Mickey
it's
Gilly.
No,
Jill,
no,
Jill,
Leonard Cohen.
Jill,
Leonard
PG
Cohen.
Rated show here, Jill.
No, it's fantastic.
Mickey Gilly.
Leonard Cohen.
Mickey Gilly does it
they
the
want
best
us to keep
me,
going.
Tyler Davenport.
They
I
want
find
us.
Leonard's a spunk.
They want us
whatever.
To keep going. You want to keep
they
going?
They want us to keep going. Well, can we
go
can
marry him? Go marry him. Fine
who,
with
Leonard?
Me.
Are you such a
yes.
jealous
co-host? Dang right, I'm jealous. I just go marry him.
You're always jealous
take,
of me.
I'll play
I'll
two closing songs, everybody.
You have a wife.
Quit your arguing, you two. I'm going to play two closing songs.
I'll take my digital ring back.
I'm going to play Jill's. I'm going to play Jill's closing song, and then I'm going to play Char's closing song. Everyone
I'm
knows what Char's.
I'm going to go look for Leonard Cohen. I want him.
Everyone knows what Sharon's favorite song is, so I'm going to play her song. So I'm going to say goodnight, everyone, and I'll see everybody Friday.
Yeah, Steven. We love you guys and girls.
Thanks for coming, Mike.
Love everyone for coming out. Thanks for coming on,
Mike. Thanks for letting me on, folks. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Jill. Thanks for coming on, Kyler.
Good night, John Boy.
And good night, everyone. Good
night, Sarah.
Good night, everyone. Sorry. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel Like a Ball. Good night.